You are listening to the Uncanceled Podcast. We believe that Jesus came to set you free and nothing can cancel the truth of God's word. Now here's your host, the youth pastor of Impact Youth at Faith Church in New Milford, Connecticut, Pastor Joey Santora.
That'll do. That'll work.
What is going on? Uncanceled. How are you guys doing? Thank you so much for tuning in. We are back.
Come
on. And we're better than ever. Here we go. Let's get it.
Let's do it.
Ben, what do we got today?
For what?
For. That was a botch. That was a botch. My bad. Four.
Rate that
energy drink. Here we go. What do we got today?
Well, today, we talked about it last week.
Oh,
to
yeah.
honor the evangelist.
Oh, yeah.
We have the yellow Red Bull.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I've never had it.
I have.
You have, but that's okay.
This is not just Evangelist Wesley's favorite Red Bull.
Is it yours?
It's not just mine. Or it's not mine. It's not mine.
Oh.
My favorite Red Bull
is the Chaotic. Oh.
That's
Wait, that's Monster.
Yeah, it's my favorite Red Bull. My favorite Red Bull is just the original. I really enjoy the original. However, I did see that they were coming out with a flavor that very much so interests me for, in like the spring, but I haven't seen it yet. But this is actually Jonathan Shuttlesworth's favorite.
Is it?
Favorite Red Bull, too.
There you go.
So, and that's where Wesley first tried it, was with him.
You know what I appreciate?
What's that?
Yeah, see that little bowl.
Yeah, the bowl in the cap. It's pretty cool, right?
Yeah.
Whoa,
man! I did that last week.
All right, here's the thing that's kind of nice about a Red Bull in comparison to a Monster, right? Let's talk about the can for a sec. The small little lip is kind of nice, actually. Drinking it, you've never had Red Bull, you said, right?
No.
It's nice for like pouring into your mouth. And it actually causes you to drink it a little slower, right? And it's nice. It's a nice, like, and also the opening it is better than opening a Monster. It's always easy to open a can of Red Bull. Monsters, sometimes you have to really, like, you know, get underneath it and stuff.
Wow.
Do you know if Red Bull was Coke or Pepsi? Doesn't it work like that?
I would say Pepsi.
Doesn't it work like that company-wise? I'll talk about this for a second. One thing about Red Bulls that is not great, if you're looking for caffeine.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up.
It's not here. I'm saying it's not like what you're looking for. Monsters have way more caffeine, I'm pretty sure. Well, who owns Red Bull?
Neither Coke nor Pepsi.
Oh, really?
It's
like in its own entity?
Yeah, it's an Austrian company.
Thanks, Austria. Well, Red Bull gives you wings. Here we go. Always hits me in the face.
Nice.
Cool. Go for a little pour.
Yep. Is it clear?
No, it's yellow.
That's appropriate. It looks like ginger ale.
Yeah, a little darker, no?
Maybe. Probably depends on the ginger ale.
Give it a sniff. What does it smell like?
I don't know. It's definitely not lemon.
No, it's a tropical flavor.
Is it? It's not orange, though.
I'll tell you this. It smells exactly like it tastes, because I've had it before.
Hmm.
Ready? Let's give it a sip. It's pretty good.
It's very pleasant.
It is.
Yeah.
You know what? This is like the bitter waters of Mara. I'm just kidding.
I'd rather drink Amazon rainwater.
Yeah, that was a crazy comment. You know, I was at 203 Exotics the other day, and I didn't buy a single thing, but they had Chinese Red Bull.
Really?
Yeah, I think I might go back and get it, because I have a $50 gift card. I think I'm going to do it.
I think that'd be a good decision. You could buy like four things with that $50 gift card.
You know what this really tells us?
Huh?
We're kind of just drinking it and talking and stuff like that. It kind of tells you that... I would say that perfectly describes what I'm feeling right now. I'm fine drinking it and I'm having a good time, but nothing about this really hit my taste buds and like went like, wow, this is so good. Because we're just kind of drinking and talking. Like, you're drinking it. You're taking another sip right now. We were just having a nice conversation about it. You know, whatever, life, you know, all that type of stuff. So, yeah.
It's pleasant. Like, it's definitely not, it's not bad.
No.
It's interesting. I feel like I can taste, like, I can really taste the difference between, like, the real sugar and the fake sugar. I haven't had a energy drink that's had real sugar in a long time.
It tastes better with real sugar.
It does.
Yeah.
It tastes more real. I don't love that there's only 114 milligrams of caffeine, personally.
Yeah, it doesn't kick you.
I don't love that there's 38 grams of real sugar.
No. So, the other day, I was at the gas station, and I picked up a Red Bull. For my MPAC students, if you want to know, like, my Wednesday routine, every other Wednesday I get my haircut at 1 o'clock. I go home and get changed. And then I go back out and I go to a gas station. I get an energy drink and it's always random. I never know which one I'm going to get. Sometimes I literally spend 15 minutes in the gas station figuring out which one I'm going to get. Like, that's an actual thing. And every time I do it, I can't help but look at the back of the can, because one of my big issues I have.
Yeah. Because you're a health conscious guy.
I am. And you can't help but look at the back of a drink can. If I'm going to, like, come on, man, it's a drink.
Right.
You're going to drink. Think about it like this, bro. I consume, when I'm eating like I am right now, 200 grams of carbs a day, maybe, is like where I'm at. Maybe like 180. I'm about 6 feet tall. So, like, you know, that's like, you know, about right for me with my caloric, you know, deficit and stuff. 40 of that for a drink. 40 of that.
Yeah, no thanks.
That's too much. I can eat it. I can eat a couple pieces of Dave's Killer Bread for this right here. You know what I mean? So that's one thing I don't really like. I'm not a huge fan of that. From a health point of view, energy drinks are just terrible for you all around.
Yeah, no, I mean, we should just, you know, throw that out there.
Yeah, it's not good. And no, Celsius is not any better. Celsius just uses different types of things. It's really not much better for you to drink a Celsius, although people want to think it's much better for you.
Do they? Do they say that it has better stuff in it?
Oh, dude,
I didn't know that.
People act like when you drink Celsius, like you're the man.
Oh.
Like, you're like, oh, I
drink
Celsius.
I don't think it tastes as good.
I don't think it tastes as good. I drank it for a little while. I do think that there are some healthier things about Celsius, but, like, I read, like, a lot, or, like, I've watched a lot of stuff about Celsius, and now it's, like, really not that much better than you. It's just marketed as healthier. So I really don't know why we're having a conversation about energy drinks right now. I just kind of feel like I'm gonna give my rating on this. It's if you like energy drinks, you're going to like this one. You're not going to... You know,
I want to write mine down before you say yours.
Okay. Just for, like, proof?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to give it... You ready?
Yep.
Okay. I'm going to give it a 7. What'd you give it?
6.5.
6.5?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it a 7. I would drink the entire thing, and I'd enjoy it, and I'd have a good time.
Yeah. I think that's really it. There's nothing... I mean, you know, sorry to... Evangelist Pastor Jonathan and Evangelist Wesley. It's not like blowing my socks off.
No, and we're going to have a Monster Chaotic at some point.
I've never had that either.
Oh, you never have?
No, because it has real sugar, right?
Bro, it does, but it's a huge can,
and
it only has 30 grams as opposed to the 40 that's in this.
Right.
So I actually, that's one thing. And it's sweeter tasting than this, too. I don't know why. Dude, that is the best energy drink. I could drink that right now. That is, oh, man.
Excuse me.
That is so good. It's so good.
So
a Monster Chaotic. Real quick, have you had any other thoughts about what type of dog Josh Hart is?
I think that I haven't thought a whole lot about it. Have you?
No, I haven't. Okay. I guess we're going to do a segment. We honestly, you and I should really consider doing a couple weeks of basketball talk. Instead of Rate That for a little while.
I'm not opposed to it.
I don't know, though. I don't know if the people will really enjoy that more than we will.
What if we just make it its own thing?
Yeah, we could have a basketball podcast. I feel like we like, especially me now, like I really watch now, like, you know, and growing up, I watched basketball all the time. But when I turned 18 and went to Bible school, it was really hard for me to keep up with basketball because I was super busy with like college and stuff like that. And just like, you know, being at Bible college and, you know, doing stuff there. But I, when I came home, I got back into like basketball again and stuff. And I have a lot to say about the New York Knicks. I just have a lot to say about the Knicks.
Listen, I mean, I always have a lot to say about the New York Knicks. They're my favorite sports team, and it's not even close to being close.
Yeah, it, for me, they're not, but like they're close. Like I like all my teams very much. Like I really do, except the Rangers. Actually, I'm a Rangers fan. In case you weren't able to tell by what you're seeing in the video, I'm not a big Rangers fan. I am.
It's because we're just not big hockey guys.
I'm a casual hockey fan. I like Artemi Panarin. He's a good player, whatever, like all that stuff. But like I like will watch the Rangers in the playoffs, and I watched a couple games this year. That's my Rangers relationship.
Yeah.
But the Knicks, I'm watching. Like I might stay up tonight and watch the Knicks game.
Mm-hmm.
We play at 10 against Portland.
We do play at 10 against Portland. Should be a win.
Oh man,
we might do that.
Are you gonna stay up?
No, I can't.
You said we might do that.
I was talking about like the sports podcast.
Dang, bro.
I would love to stay up, but I can't do that. I get up early.
No one cares. All right. Well, True.Anks for tuning in to Rate That. That just kind of turned into talk with Ben and like Ben and Joey. We kind of just talk like this sometimes. To be honest with you, I don't really even think we're that entertaining when we have these. I think it's pretty borderline like boring. I think it would be interesting if we talked about basketball and really got into it because we're pretty passionate about that.
Yeah. So I agree.
I think that if we're passionate about something, we'll get into it a little more. So
we just weren't that passionate about.
No, we weren't. This was boring, man. This was not. I'm not that passionate. I'm getting a chaotic on here next week. It's happening. Receive it by faith now. You know what I want to tell you. You know what? This is actually right here. This is like we're cutting the the Rate That segment. Thanks for tuning in to Rate That. Hope that you enjoyed it. It was pretty cash, but now let's transition into the Bible portion of things. So here we go. Thank you so much for tuning into the Uncancelled podcast here on YouTube or on Spotify. If you just watched Rate That, I apologize. It was pretty whack, but maybe you enjoyed it. I have no idea. But anyway, we're here to teach the Bible today. I got Ben on with me. I asked him to join me. I literally just asked him like 5 seconds ago to like join me on this. So he doesn't really exactly even know what I'm talking about, but I'm sure that he'll have some good stuff that he's going to say. But anyway, I wanted to share a testimony with you guys just because like a couple of things just have been happening lately. It is amazing to me how when I was, let me put it like this. When I was first in Bible college, I really thought that like preaching, like you had to be like this, like really skilled communicator. Mm-hmm. Like you had to like say all these perfect words and like you had to like formulate these beautiful thoughts and see these deep things in the text and stuff like that, that nobody else has ever seen. And that's what my understanding of preaching was, just like going to school. Nobody even exactly told me that. It was just like what I thought in my mind. And when I went to school and I started to learn more about preaching and like, you know, all that stuff, I just realized what preaching is. And I think that really and truly, I just started doing it like this, and I've realized this like understanding more recently even too. Preaching is just like reading the scriptures and talking about them. That's what preaching is. It is, you have a message in your, you have something that comes into your spirit to preach on because you've been spending time with the Lord, and the Lord just speaks to you. Okay, Lord, what do you want me to talk about? I want you to talk about this. Okay, great. The Lord will show you a scripture that goes with it, and then you preach, and it comes out of you, and you just have the scriptures, and you speak them. And here's what's amazing to me. When you preach like that, it like people are so impacted. Mm. And that's what amazes me, because that's just how great the Bible is. It's like what I've come to realize is it's not even as much about how great of a communicator you are. And like, I'm not saying it's bad to be a good communicator and learn and grow in that skill, but I'm saying like That's not the main thing. The main thing is, are you anointed by God to do it? Right? What anointed? Do I have the power of God on me, the presence of God with me, and the power of God with me to go and to preach? Do I have that? That's the first thing. Do I have that oil on me to do it? The second thing is, am I using the Bible? Because the Bible says that the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. And so the Word of God is what cuts people's hearts. And I had people coming up to me. Like, I preached Sunday at Faith Church to the adults. And like, if I'm just being honest with you, after I was done preaching after both services, I was just kind of like, I just read the scripture and just talked about Christ the healer. That's all I talked about. The title of my sermon was Christ the healer. And I talked about how to receive divine healing or something like that, right? I talked about, you know, it's you know, God's will. Talked about the fact that it's already paid for. And I talked about the methods, yeah. The way in which you go about receiving it. And that's all I talked about. And I just bragged on Christ the healer, and just talked about God, just talked about his word, preached out of my spirit with everything that I had in me. And then all of a sudden, all these people started to get healed. And that's how, and it honestly keeps you humble. When you come to that understanding and realization that you're not really doing anything other than just preaching the word of God and letting God do what he does. And like, obviously God is using you. You're the one who needs to step out in faith and do it and all stuff. I understand all that, but it's God's power that is at work in people that is performing these amazing things that are taking place. And people came up to me this week. And you know it was a good service when people are coming up to you a couple of days after, like, man, like this really impacted me, all this stuff. And people were coming up to me. I was like moved. I was in tears for yourself. Yeah. I was like, what? Yeah. Like, I was like, you were in tears? Like I don't know. Just like it amazes me that God works so powerfully on his word. I know he does. But to see it actually come to fruition, people say, I was so moved by your sermon. You're like, really? Like you were moved? And here's what amazed me. Just seeing stuff like this happen. I've run into multiple people this week who have told me, hey, I didn't get a chance to tell you, but I didn't come down to the altar for prayer, but I just believed your message. I believe the message of the Bible. I believe what you said about Christ the healer. And I didn't even need to come down there. All of a sudden, the pain that I had in my body just went away.
Amen. That's awesome.
You know Miss Gabbard?
Yeah.
Miss Gabbard was just out there in the hall right before I walked in. Hey, I didn't get a chance to tell you, but I've been having a lot of pain in my shoulder. I didn't come down to the altar, but ever since your sermon on Sunday morning, I my arm has had no pain. What happened? Amen. Christ the healer came into the room because Christ the healer was talked about. Christ the healer was talked about from the word of God, and the power of God came in the room. Christ the healer was there, and he healed people. And so it just moved me so much that it almost just keeps you in that state of like, God, I never want to preach again. I never want to preach again without making sure that it is packed with your word. And that's what my heart is when I preach, is to have it be packed with the word of God.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I went out to lunch right after that service, and there was just a guy that as he was on the way out, he was like, oh, hey, you were at Faith Church, right? And I was like, yeah. And he said, Pastor Joey's sermon really blessed me so much, and God touched me, and I got healed. And I was just like, oh, amen. That's amazing. And I texted you to let you know. But no, it's so true. Like, the word of God is what speaks to people.
Yeah.
And that second half of that scripture that you referenced, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. You may not feel like you're, you know, speaking to anybody's individual need, but God is through his word.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's so amazing that people were just like healed in the service and just so moved by it. That's awesome.
It blew my mind. It really did. And then you get stuff like this. It's amazing because I'll be transparent with you guys. Sometimes you ask yourself, man, I hope that people are receiving from what I'm talking about. But then I really felt as though that for like the first couple months of the year, I was like, man, I really hope that people are like receiving in January and February. I was really thinking that. And I really just leaned on the Lord and I was like, no, like I know I'm preaching the word. I was like, but then I made a public statement one week and I said, hey, if you have a testimony of something God has done in your life, I want to know about it. That's all I said. I've had all these people start coming up to me, telling me all these things God has done in their life through the youth ministry, through Impact Youth. And I'm just like, why did I not know about this? Like, I had a girl come up to me yesterday. She goes, I wanted to tell you that you prayed for me that I would be free from anxiety and depression. You prayed, I prayed in Jesus' name, I command anxiety, depression come off of her. I just prayed it with authority. And because that's all you have to do. I just use the authority that Jesus gave me and I rebuked that thing. And, you know, you wonder sometimes after the service, you know, I really feel that they were set free, but I wonder if that's going to be their testimony. She comes back to me. She's like, you know, Pastor Joey, ever since you prayed that, I haven't been anxious. I haven't been depressed at all. I haven't been harming myself anymore. I haven't been doing any of that stuff. And I was just like, whoa, like, That's like amazing. Like, obviously, like, I believe God. I believe that he's done it in the moment. But something happens when you begin to hear the testimony that it just confirms to you what the Bible has already said. Because we don't base, you know, our doctrine of the Bible based on experience. Yeah. But the experiences are supposed to confirm what the Bible says. And we keep going and we keep doing until we see our experiences line up with the Word of God.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's just amazing. That's awesome. I know this is, you know, more just talking, you know, a little bit, but I just wanted to share a couple things with you. Another thing that I heard, you know that, actually, I won't say who it is because I think he wants to share it. There's a kid that's been coming to Impact a lot more recently, and he told me that he just got saved like 3 months ago, which is one, I love that at Impact, there's always someone new that it's like they just got saved 2 months ago.
That's how it should be.
Yeah. You can comment on that if you want
no,
to.
No, further. I mean, like, that's how it should be. If you know, the ministry's doing what it's supposed to do, then there should be new people coming in.
Right.
And new people that actually want to stick around and want to receive.
But, yeah. No, absolutely. And it's like, I love that about Impact. I just got saved 3 months ago. I just got saved 6 months ago. There's always someone new that's giving their life to the Lord. And it's amazing. And then they're like dedicated. They're actually like coming and like receiving. And this kid, he had a hernia that was in his like stomach. And it was like, he said it was like the size of either a baseball or a golf ball. I'm not sure. He said it was pretty big. And they needed to operate on it. There needs to be a surgery. And Josh Melendez, shout out to him. He's one of our students here. He told the kid, I challenge you to believe God for healing before having the surgery. And so he actually canceled his surgery.
Wow.
And he believed God. And then Josh said, watch Pastor Joey's podcast on divine healing.
Wow.
And he watched it. And I thought he was going to say to me, I'm being honest with you, maybe me of little faith here. I thought he was going to say to me, and you know, I'm still believing for it and stuff like that. And he looks at me and he goes, yeah, I watched it. And he was like, and then, you know, like it's completely gone. Like I don't have a hernia anymore.
That's amazing.
And I was like, really? I was like, praise God. Like, you know, like I'm not like doubting. It's just it just like blesses you like to hear that. And I was like, really? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, how do you know? Like, you know, and I ask because I want to know that there's like proof. He's like, how do you know that it's gone? And he goes, he was like, you can like see it. And like, it's like, and I was like, oh, I was like, that's a good way to know. And he was like, and it's not there anymore. And I just laughed. And I was like, and he's like, yeah, he said it was causing him all this pain, all this stuff. But like just hearing, you have to understand, it is a higher level of understanding from God's word to receive from the word of God without anyone praying for you or laying hands on you. Just to get it, just to be like, okay, the Bible says this. And that's why I actually like ministering to people who are newer in their faith.
Yeah.
Because they haven't been poisoned.
Yeah. They just, okay, that's what it says. All right, cool. Let's do it.
Right.
And they get it.
Right. It's very simple. It's just, this is it. This is what the Bible says. Believe it. And then it's so easy to get someone that is newly saved to receive than it is to get somebody that has been in church for 20 years to receive. It is often easier. I shouldn't say always, often, because they haven't even had the opportunity to be able to walk a life out with Christ for a while where they can point to all these different experiences and live through their experiences. All they have is the word. And so they receive by the word of God, and that's it. And the great and the worst part about it is that the reason why many people have this is because many people aren't taught good doctrine from the first point that they're saved. And so they get taught this bad doctrine, they have bad experiences, and then they're taught this new doctrine of the word of God. And I shouldn't call it new, I don't mean it's made up. They're taught the proper doctrine from the word of God. And they hear that, and then they are like, but this happened and that happened. And there's all these mental barriers to overcome. But it's easier for a new believer because they're like, well, I didn't believe that before, now I do, so let me see this happen in my life.
That's awesome, man.
It's that scripture, my people perish from a lack of knowledge.
Yeah.
They have no knowledge to understand the things of God. And you know, one thing that Evangelist Wesley said to me, and it's blessed me so much, it always blesses me to hear people say, like, you know, hey, like, you know, the sermon really blessed me, or like, you know, I really enjoyed hearing what you had to say. Like, it blessed me because I know that that's God moving on it. I know it's not me and myself. And so, he said to me, you know, that was one of the best sermons I ever heard you preach. And he said, you could feel a residue of the anointing when you walked in between services, that there was like the power of God was in the room to like do stuff. And it just blessed me so much. And one thing Evangelist Wesley said was, you perfectly set people up to be able to receive divine healing. He said, you taught it from the Bible and you broke down barriers that people would have to receiving divine healing. And I know it was the Lord because I'm not that smart. Mm. I'm not being self-deprecating, but I have the mind of Christ.
Yeah.
I know that God's given me intelligence and stuff like that, but I have the mind of Christ.
Yeah.
And so when I do those things, it's just like, it amazes me that I can structure something and have it actually make sense. And I know that it's out of my spirit. It's not from my own head.
And even without like an abundance of notes, right? Like that's how you've been preaching more and more. It's just like, here's a scripture and you know, whatever the Lord prompts you to say.
Yeah.
Because he knows what every person needs to hear. And when it comes out of your spirit, and man, like, as somebody who's been here since like he started, it doesn't, you know, you've been preaching more and more without like, you know, an incredible amount of notes. Right. Not that he doesn't study and not that he doesn't prepare, but just that it's not like, you know, a script that he's written out kind of thing. And he just preaches, like he's saying, out of his spirit. And it has never once felt like you've been unprepared. Never once felt like, you know, oh, like, you know, he didn't seem ready tonight. No, he's like, you've learned more and more to like rely on the Holy Spirit prompting you what you're to say. And it's been been shown. And like the evidence is in, you know, what's happened in Impact, and also just, you know, on the weekend, like you're saying, like God's been moving in a big way. And it's been awesome.
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to keep talking about some stuff. I don't even know if I'm going to get to this today. That's fine. I don't know what we're even going to title this. Just like, you know, testimonies with Pastor Joey and Ben. I have no idea. I don't know what we're going to title this. But I preached on, what did I preach on last week? I preached on, goodness sake. It was in the Here I Am series, but I could pull it up in my notes. It's fine. I have like my things. So there it is. Oh, fight for your generation.
Yeah.
Preach on fighting for your generation. But the thing is that as I was preaching, I just all of a sudden in my spirit felt to start talking about how we want to see our generation free. We want to see it free. That's like, you know, what we want to see. But I felt that if people aren't free that are in the room, then it's harder for them to fight for their generation. If you're bound yourself, then it's hard to bring the message of freedom to somebody when you're bound yourself.
Right.
So I felt if you were bound in your mind by depression, anxiety, something like that, suicidal thoughts, I felt to have people come down and to pray for them. And I prayed for this one person that's been battling with OCD, like legit OCD, And this is actually something that I battled with when I was younger as well. And you just do like weird stuff. It's like very annoying. Like example, case in point, like you like put a water bottle down and you don't like the way the water bottle lands. So like you like have to pick it back up again and keep doing this until you like it.
Right.
And that's like what I used to do, that right. type of stuff.
I see OCD like often at my job. Like,
really?
Yeah. Like a couple, like I work with adults with special needs and like some of them have OCD and they literally can't get past something unless they do it perfectly or they do it in this specific order. So like it's a stronghold.
It is. It's yeah. a stronghold, and it's trying to keep you focused on this one thing while you're trying. While you, God wants you to be focused on something else,
right?
You know. And so I prayed for this girl, and she came back to me, and she said, "Pastor Joey, I have not been struggling with that since you prayed for me on Wednesday night."
Amen.
And again, I'm not saying that to bring glory to myself. I'm saying that to say that God is really doing stuff and God is actually touching people's lives. It bothers the heck out of me that it is possible to have youth group where people are not getting free, where people are not being touched by the power of God, where people are not meeting with God. It boggles my mind. I've had students come from other youth groups that have been like they come from other youth groups and they're like, it's nothing like this. We don't meet with God. Like, you know, the pastor just talks for a little bit. Or I even have people who go to other youth groups that when they need something or when they need a touch from God or when they need to ask a question about something, they come and they talk to me. And I'm like, why are you not talking to your youth pastor? I'm not saying that to bring glory to myself. I'm saying that to say it's very frustrating to see that you would do ministry without the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Very frustrating.
And you can actually like, you know, and this is something that you've heard and that you've shared is that like, you know, youth aren't hungry for like the move of God and they're not hungry for the power of God. You said this last night that like, you know, there, you know, youth students don't have the attention span to sit in a 45-minute service. We've seen it. And like, it's so clear that, and this is something that you and Evangelist Wesley talked about last week is like this generation needs something.
Yes,
like there's so much nonsense going on and this generation needs the power of God and the word of God that's able to actually make a legitimate change in their situation and what they're going through.
Yeah.
And you can so see, like so clearly see when there's a genuine hunger in some students and you can see when there's a genuine disinterest in others, but like it could just be a barrier that needs to be broken down so that they are hungry yeah. to receive. And I think that some people maybe like quit, maybe like don't like press through and try to break through that to like get them to that point where they're actually hungry for it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And what I was going to talk about today is I was going to talk about the call of God part 3, because I did parts 1 and 2 and it's been a couple weeks and I didn't do part 3, but there is a part 3 to this, this thing. And just as we're even talking, this generation, what they need is they need an encounter with God. And yeah. that encounter with God will set them up for life. That I met with God, I know God is real, but that encounter with God will lead them to discover the task that God has called them to. And that is the call of God. That's what we mean when we say the call of God. Right. The task to which God has assigned you to. Now, there is a call of God in the sense when we talk about the ministry and the work of God. And many people receive that. But there is a calling. There is a task that God has assigned to every person, ministry or non-ministry related. That God has given us a call to do something. What is that thing going to lead to? It's going to lead for the kingdom of God to be advanced. Yeah. Jesus said this, we must quickly carry out the task that is before us. For night comes where no man can work. John 9:4. Yep. What does that mean? Night comes for no man, which no man will work. Well, the night coming where no man can work is talking about the end of time. It's talking about the second coming of Christ. That's what it's talking about. It's talking about there's going to come a time where no man's going to be able to work anymore. Where it's all going to be over. People are either going to know God or they're not going to know God. The night is coming which no man can work. So we must quickly carry out the task. Think about it like this. If it's daytime and a farmer is trying to get work done, the farmer needs to quickly do their work before it becomes night. Because if they don't quickly carry out the work, it's going to get to be nighttime. and they're not going to be able to see anymore, and they're not going to be able to work. And so Jesus is saying that we have to quickly carry out the task, the call that is on our life. What is the thing that God is asking you to do? What is your call? We talked about once you get this call, that you need to forsake everything else for it. You need to forsake everything else for the call of God. Your friends and family might tell you, no, don't do that thing that God is telling you to do. You may have people that are very well-meaning that come alongside of you and try and talk you out of doing the task that God has set before you. However, the call of God involves forsaking all. And if you haven't watched the first two podcasts on this, go back and watch those and then come back and finish up watching this one. But it's forsaking all. The call of God is pressing in. It's not giving up when things get difficult and when there seems to be opposition that comes your way. The call of God involves a pressing into and to continually go and work and do the thing that God has called you to do. And so the call of God is an important thing. You need to figure out the thing that God has called you to do or tasked you to do in this final hour of time.
Yeah. And the plan of the enemy is to keep you from discovering that task, right? The plan of the enemy is to keep you stagnant and not really doing anything. Because if you're stagnant, and then you're not really doing anything for the Lord. Proverbs 13:4 says, the soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing, while yes. The soul of the diligent is richly supplied. The enemy doesn't want you to do anything for the Lord. Like he'll try to, convince you that you can push it off, that you don't actually have to discover the task that God has for your life. You don't actually have to pursue the call of God. You can push it off and push it off and push it off. But like that scripture you read in John 9, like the night is coming. And then at that point, like there's no more work to be done. We have to do the work while we can do the work.
Yes. No, absolutely. You're 100% right. And the other thing, the thing the enemy will do is the enemy will either try to get people to be lazy or get people to think they are doing the thing that they're tasked to do. Mm. That's one thing that I've noticed with a lot of people. They get their task, I say that in quotations if you're listening to it on Spotify, they get their so-called task from what they're thinking in their head that they're good at.
Right.
It's, well, I'm good with animals, so I'm going to be a veterinarian. Mm. Okay, but is that what God has tasked you to do? Is that it may very well be, but you have to understand the task that God has given you is going to lead to something that is going to advance the kingdom of God. So, okay, fine, you're called to be a veterinarian, but how is that going to advance the kingdom of God? Well, Pastor Joey, I don't know if I agree with that, because where does that say it in the Bible? Well, Jesus said to go and to make disciples of all nations. Jesus made it very clear that our goal as Christians, as disciples, is to go and make other disciples. So how is you being a veterinarian going to fulfill that great commission? There is a way, by the way. I'm not saying that if you feel called to be a veterinarian that like you can't be. Vets can fulfill the kingdom of God in some way, shape, or form. But you need to get that direct vision from the Lord. Okay, Lord, what is it that you're asking me to do? How can what you have asked me to do fulfill the great commission? I think about the scripture in Luke 8 that I talked about last night. The women in Luke chapter 8, the Bible says the women gave out of what they had to support the ministry of Jesus. They gave financially to Jesus to support his ministry. And so that is an example of someone that was advancing the kingdom of God, even though they were not specifically called to be a pastor or a minister of some capacity. They supported out of their own financial means the ministry of Jesus. So that's like a perfect example of somebody that wasn't called to ministry that still was following the call of God, doing what they were doing, but supporting the kingdom of God through that.
No, that's so great. And one thing that I really appreciate that you and Pastor Brianna have done is that you've really empowered the students, just like you were preaching last night, that you're called to do something.
Yes.
Even if you're not called to ministry, you're called to do something. And like he's saying, that something is going to be something that advances the kingdom of God. But it's so true. So many people, I was there, I was making a decision what I was going to do with my life based on what I liked, based on what I thought was going to, be successful, what I thought was going to be good for me to do. And I think of this quote, I think maybe Evangelist Wesley said it last week. I don't remember, where it comes from, but the mind makes a great servant, but a terrible master. We're not to live our lives just by, you know, what we immediately think. We're not to live our lives certainly by what we, you know, feel in our emotions or what we feel in our flesh. But we need to take every thought captive like the Bible says,
and we need to live by
the Spirit. Okay, great. You know, for me, it was the law. I had a passion for the law. I had passion for, you know, law enforcement and things like that. I was going to pursue law school. That's great. Like, nothing wrong with that. But was it the thing that God wanted me to do?
Yeah.
Romans 12, verse 2 says, do not be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. It may be that what you have a passion for is not bad, but is it the thing that God wants you to do? Is it the thing that God created you to do, that he put you on this earth to fulfill?
Yeah, absolutely. Because the thing is that you might think that you like something, that you want to do something. But how many of you guys know that there are many people out there in this world that have degrees in something that they found out that they hated?
Right.
Wouldn't you rather just find out what God wants you to do? Because then you're not going to be miserable. Because you're not going to be miserable doing the plan that God has for your life.
You won't.
You're going to be happy. You're going to be satisfied. You're going to have so much joy in your life doing what you're doing. If I had things my way, I'd be doing something completely different right now. But God called me. And when he called me, it was like the best thing ever because I knew God told me to do it. And so since God told me to do it, I knew I would find my satisfaction in it. You know what the Bible says? You hinted at it before. They that are led by the Spirit, they are the children of God.
Yeah.
They that are led by the what? Spirit.
Yeah.
Not they that are led by their minds, not those that are led by their emotions. They that are led by the Spirit, they are the children of God. So I don't live my life based on my feelings and the things in my mind. I live my life by what? By the Spirit of God.
Amen.
What is God asking me to do with my life? What is the task that is set before me? There are some of you that are going to watch this, that God's going to speak to you even as you're watching and say, build me this type of business. Build me a business in Washington, D.C. Build me a business in Washington, D.C., and I will give you influence in the political landscape to advance my kingdom. That's a task.
Yeah.
That's a task. See, people think, well, I just kind of feel like I should, you know, have a designer company. Okay. But like, how is that going to advance the kingdom of God?
Yeah.
That's everything we do is attached to advancing the kingdom of God. That is our task while we are here on earth. That is our purpose. That is the thing that we ought to be doing. Our purpose is to advance the kingdom of God. But here's the thing. It will be attached. That purpose will be fulfilled in a different task for everybody else. The thing that you do, and this is kind of getting into what I talked about last night, but the thing that you will do might look different than the thing that somebody else does.
Yeah.
You know, the task that God has given me is going to look different than the task God has given someone else. Now, I'm a pastor. Somebody else is going to be called to be a pastor. You know, but the way in which I do things is not going to be the exact way everybody else does things. You know, I have Impact Covenant. You might not name your youth group Impact Youth. You might not, you know, meet on Wednesday night. It might be different for you, but it's the same Spirit that is causing it to happen. As long as you are doing things by the Spirit and accomplishing your task, then God will honor that.
Yeah, because God doesn't want, you know, a bunch of copies of the same person.
Right. Right.
God created us unique. God created us, you know, different from one another. And he wants to use the specific giftings that he's put on the inside of every person to do things in a little bit different way. And certainly, like, it can, you know, look the same, but it's going to reach different people. It's going to reach, you know, different people in a different way when you're doing it the way that God's instructed you to do
it. Yes.
And man, something that blows me away, and it really is, and you know, I'm not trying to be whatever, but it really just is a testament to, like, your and Brianna's leadership and how this youth ministry is run. These students are, like, actually living for God, and they actually care about God. And at their age is, like, it blesses me so much because it's not something that, you know, it's not a place that I was at, but like, students watching this, the younger that you can get this, the better off that you'll be, the farther that you'll run quicker because you're actually submitting to the will of God for your life. And the thing is that God wants to give it to you. He's not gonna, like, You know, it's not going to be a hard thing for you to figure out. If you're seeking the Lord and if you're living for the Lord and just get before him, God, what is the thing that you want me to do with a sincere heart because you actually want to do it, because you actually want to fulfill the will of God for your life? He's not going to leave you guessing and he's not going to make you like, you know, struggle for it. He wants to give it to you. Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths.
Yes.
He will make straight your paths, and he wants to tell you. James 4:8, if you draw near to God, God will draw near to you. If you get before the Lord, God, what is the thing that you want me to do? He will give you instruction.
Yes, and I feel the encouragement of the Lord to remind you. One student came up to me last night and said, I really tried to pray. I don't know what God, you know, wants me to do. Keep seeking, keep seeking. God will show you the thing that you ought to do. And I challenge you, if you don't know what God wants you to do, pray and fast. And before you pray and fast, please talk to your pastor about it first and to your parents about it. In fact, not please, I'm telling you, if you're going to say that you listen to me, you're not listening to me if you don't hear what I'm saying right now. If you are in high school, You need to go to your pastor and go to your parent before you fast so that you understand the adequate way that you can fast in a way that is safe and in a way that is healthy. But prayer and fasting will give you instruction on that. But make this note for yourself. The Holy Spirit makes the difference. The Holy Spirit makes the difference. Go to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. I know we're just quoting like scriptures like all over the place right now, but that's okay. That's a good thing. Luke chapter 24. I believe it's verse 49. Amen. Let me see. I know where it is in Acts, so it would be easier for... Yeah, there it is. No, I'm right. The Holy Spirit makes the difference. I made a couple of comments tonight, just as we're recording.
Yep.
And as you're talking and stuff, we made some comments about, you know, this youth group and, you know, and you know, God is doing this. And like, you know, you made a comment about, you know, our leadership, which I appreciate and I praise God for that. But it's really the Holy Spirit that makes the difference.
Amen.
And what I mean by that is this. I know some youth pastors that aren't even baptized in the Holy Spirit, but they're leading a youth group. And I'm sure they're nice people. I'm not saying that, I'm not trying to attack anyone right now. Please, that's not my heart is to just start going on a rampage attacking people. But I do think that the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I shouldn't even say think, I need to make a stronger statement. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is a prerequisite to doing the work of the ministry.
Yeah.
And it's really necessary in the lives of every believer. It's not just something that you can just be like, I guess it's a nice thing. You'll go to heaven without the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The thief on the cross, Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. Right. He didn't get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You'll be in heaven without it. But do you want to crawl into heaven or do you want to make an impact for the kingdom of God and run into heaven? That's the question. And so, well, you know, where's that in the Bible, Pastor Joey? I don't really think it's necessary. I don't think my youth pastor needs to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Okay, well, how come Jesus then said to his disciples when he was leaving them, he said this to them. He gave them this warning. Luke chapter 24, I'll read verse 44, and we'll go through 49. Then he said to them, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that the repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. So let me stop there. Jesus is saying to them, hey, you're witnesses to go out and tell people what? To tell people that I died on the cross for the forgiveness of their sins and that it needs to be told to all nations. You need to do that. And you're the people that are going to do that. But here's what Jesus says in verse 49. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. Mm. And it, Acts chapter 1 makes this a little bit clearer. Let's go to Acts chapter 1. I'm going to read it there too. Yep. Because I want to make sure that's very clear what's being said. So Jesus says very clearly and very plainly, he says, you're my witnesses, but don't leave the city until you receive power from on high. And so here's what Jesus says. Acts chapter, I'm going to try and find it.
Is it 1:4 or 1:8?
Is it 1:4? Yeah, it is. 1:4. Good job. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. What did Jesus want his disciples to do? Wait. Yeah. Don't go until you are filled with power from on high, until the baptism of my Spirit comes upon you. Really, what we understand, the baptism of Christ, it is the Spirit of Christ. It is the Spirit of Christ, the empowerment of Christ coming on the inside of us to effectively do the work of God on this earth. That's really what we're getting at when we talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And this is evidenced by the speaking in tongues. When you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you'll receive this heavenly language called speaking, which is called speaking in tongues. It's not like, you know, speaking German or speaking French or whatever. It's a heavenly language. And so this is not meant to be a teaching on the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but it kind of is. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is the key that unlocks so much more. You can be saved without the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Jesus breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit before this. What was that? That was them being sealed with the Holy Spirit with salvation. But there is a second work called the baptism of the Holy Spirit that will effectively empower you to carry out the task that God has set out before you. Amen. That's what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is. And so what is the difference here? What is the difference? We are a youth group that is filled with the Holy Spirit, that I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. Pastor Frank is filled with the Holy Spirit. The leaders are filled with the Holy Spirit. My wife is filled with the Holy Spirit. And so what? We are led by the Spirit and we operate in the power of the Spirit. And some people are baptized in the Spirit, but they don't operate in the power of the Spirit. And so that's the difference here. That's it. Why do students live holy at this youth group? And now I'm not saying that everybody's perfect and that nobody ever sins at Impact Youth, because people make mistakes in our youth group sometimes. It has happened before. I don't want to, you know, be naive. You know, some people will be like, you know, well, you know, nobody ever sins in our youth group. Everybody always lives perfectly but unholy before God. And then when there's an altar call for people to repent of sin, your altars are full. We don't have a culture here that people can come and say, Pastor Joey, I made a mistake. I sinned against God and I need to repent before God. We don't have a culture where students can't do that. People have done that, come up to me and said that. But students, for the most part, live for God in this youth group. They live for God. It's more and more rare that students, it becomes more and more rare for students to sin against God. And why is that? Because we believe the Bible, the baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire, where students get filled with the power of the Spirit so strongly, and the fire of God consumes them to the point that they begin to live their life for the Lord. So what's the difference? The Holy Spirit is the difference. Amen. That's the difference in this youth group. That will be the difference in your life as you carry out the call of God in your life. And I'm not going to talk about the point I was going to talk. I'm going to do that next week. The point for this week is that the Holy Spirit makes the difference. That when you are called by God, the task that you have assigned to you, it will be effectively done through the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit coming upon your life.
Amen. Amen. That's the power of God. That's the power of God that you need to do the thing that God has called you to do. And why would you want to try to do it without it? That's what we need in order to effectively do the thing that God has called us to do.
Yeah. You know what? I feel led to this. And I've felt so much more confident in just doing this. If you just preach the Bible and don't give all these you know, but what if, and all this type of stuff, all these justifications for what if it doesn't happen, and, you know, really just like get, you know, deep into it, and, you know, sometimes it doesn't happen because this, all this stuff. If you just preach the raw Bible and then do what it says, stuff will happen. And you have to be, and you have to be confident that it is going to happen. That this, when I preach the Bible, it's going to happen because God's word cannot fail.
Yes.
And as long as you have a scripture to stand on, it won't fail you. You might be watching this right now, and you may be thinking, I'm not baptized with the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Or you may not know if you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. If you don't know if you are baptized with the Holy Spirit, you're not. That's you know, 99% of the time. If you've spoken in tongues before, you are baptized in the Holy Spirit. That is the initial physical evidence of speaking of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, is speaking in tongues. You will speak in a language that you have not learned on your own. It's not like you take Duolingo for tongues and, you know, you learn, like, you know, how to say hello in tongues and all this stuff. It's not weird like that. It's different. In Acts 2, what happens is that the Holy Spirit comes upon them, and you can read it yourself. And they begin to speak in these other tongues, these other languages. And no, again, not, you know, all, you know, French and German and stuff, but language that is from heaven. And I remember when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit when I was 15, my father implored me. He said, Joey, you just need to speak out whatever you feel to say. Because there's that fear that you don't, you know, you're like, what if I'm just going to not make sense? It's something that far supersedes the natural. It is supernatural. Just speak. Just speak. Well, and speak as the Lord prompts you to. And I've heard people say before, well, so-and-so has prayed for this long for the baptism of the Holy Spirit and they haven't gotten it. Sorry to hear that. But I'll tell you what. If you're hungry for it, you'll get it.
Yeah.
I had a student that was so hungry for it at a youth service one time. They got saved 6 months ago or something like that, maybe 8 months ago at this point. And they came down to the altar. They were standing right here. And I walked over to them, and they started to cry. And they had, like, tears coming down their eyes. And, like, the altar was, like, had, like, water on it from their tears. And I was like, what are they crying for? And I was like, and you have to understand, I'm not emotionally driven. There are emotions that come with an encounter with the Spirit. But just because someone's crying doesn't mean that that's, like, you know, the most spiritual thing ever. But I felt that this was of the Lord. And I walked over, and I said to the young man, I said, why are you crying? And he looked at me and he said, I just want it. I want the Holy Spirit. I want the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There is a generation that wants the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And that blessed me so much that you would get down to an altar and just begin to cry before the Lord and say, God, I want your Holy Spirit so badly that I'm crying right now. Like, you have to understand how bad somebody wants the Holy Spirit to cry. Mm. Like that. And I'll tell you what, he received the Holy Spirit. He received the Holy Spirit. Do you want it? If you want it, you'll get it.
Yeah.
If you want it, you'll get it. So I'm going to have you do this. Go ahead and just right now, if you're watching this, I don't know, if you're watching this even a year from now, it will still be the same. I want you to just do this. I want you to put your hand on your stomach. Why your stomach? Because Jesus said, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. That's where your spirit is. Your spirit is right there. So I want you to go ahead and put your hand right on your stomach, right on your spirit, man. And I'm going to pray for you right now for you to receive the Holy Spirit. And I would not be shocked if people come up to me 6 months from now, a week from now. I don't know. And say, hey, I was watching the podcast and I received the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
I believe that that can happen for you right now where you're at. Yes. You can receive it by faith. You can believe it. I want you to even pray this with me. Go ahead and just pray this. Go, like, repeat this after me as I do it right now. Say this. Say, Jesus, I want your Holy Spirit. Fill me now. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, I thank you that you want to baptize them in the Spirit. In Jesus' name, I pray that they would be filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit now, with the initial physical evidence of speaking in tongues. Amen. Hallelujah. I believe that people that are going to watch this are going to be filled with the Holy Ghost by just saying that simple prayer and receiving it. You can receive without anybody laying hands on you. Now, I believe in the laying on of hands, and there are certain moments where the laying on of hands is necessary in a moment to receive something. Sometimes there's an impartation that takes place. Last night, I prayed for a girl in our youth group that I felt God wanted to impart to her a gift of preaching, to be able to preach. And so I had my wife come over with me, and we laid hands on her, and we prayed. And that was a moment where the laying on of hands was needed. Sometimes the Lord might prompt me to use the laying on of hands, but you can receive without anyone even praying for you. And I believe that some of you just did now, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. I hope that this blessed you. Ben, thanks for joining me. Do you want to just say anything as we sign off?
No. Amen. People just got baptized in the Holy Ghost. That's awesome.
Amen. Amen. I hope you enjoyed this. This was the Call of God part 3. Turned into that at least. I don't even know where this started with. I think we were talking about testimonies and stuff of things that God was doing. But I hope it stirred your faith.
Yeah.
Get your faith on what I said. If I said something, you need healing in your body. You're believing God to be free from anxiety, depression, suicidal thoughts. Get your faith on it and just receive it.
Yeah. You said something over the weekend that really blessed me a lot. You said that when Jesus was on the earth, he was never trying to get God to do anything. He was trying to stir people's faith up to receive it.
Yeah.
And that's really what it is that God's will is settled. That's what the Bible says, that God's will is forever settled in heaven. God wants to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. God wants to heal you. God wants to free your mind. We just have to receive it.
Yes. Yes. I will say, I want to make sure I give credit where credit is due. I heard that from Pastor Jonathan Shuttlesworth first. So I want to give him credit for that. He's the one who said that and stirred that in me, because it's true.
Yeah.
Jesus wasn't trying to get God to do something.
Right.
He was trying to get people to receive.
So good.
You see that all throughout anyone that wants to argue me on that, bring to me a verse in the New Testament, in the ministry of Jesus, where Jesus was trying to get God to do something. It was the works of God. Jesus was God, and he still is God. So you have to even get that. Wow, this is even just hitting me even more. And this is something that I just feel the Lord prompting me. In Mark 6, Jesus said Jesus could do no mighty miracles because of their unbelief.
Right.
So was it God's unwillingness to do it? Are you saying that Jesus was unwilling to do it? No, because the text is clear that the Bible says that he could do no mighty works because of their unbelief.
Right.
The reasoning was not Jesus' unwillingness, but was their unbelief.
Yeah,
and so there was only a couple people. It said that a couple sick people got healed. They got it. They understood it. There's always a couple people. I've always noticed that sometimes you'll go to service, there's a couple people that get it or something like that. But the rest of people, it's like, okay, they're not getting this. Jesus wants to do things. God wants to do things. You just got to have faith to receive it.
Yeah, and it should be an encouragement, because it's Psalm 119:89 says, "Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens."
That's right.
God wants to do it. It should be an encouragement. God, it's not, it's not a matter of whether or not you want to do it. All I have to do is receive it and believe you in faith for it.
Yeah. I just want to hit on this again. I mean, it really is like, this is me just talking kind of here. I really felt as though that there was a breakthrough or another level that was tapped into in my ministry actually was before then. And I don't mean to keep bringing him up. I don't like worship this person or anything like that. Like, I really don't. I admire them and I appreciate what they, what they've done in my life. But Pastor Jonathan laid hands on me and my wife and imparted something to us when we were at his church. 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
And then I preached the next weekend. And I don't know what happened. I don't even remember what he prayed for me. Maybe you'll remember. But I don't even know what he prayed. But I felt when I came home, what I felt was there was like an impartation of like miracles that happened. And so when I like felt that going into the weekend, and after I preached on Sunday and saw the fruit of what happened, I was like, okay, I was like, this is like actually happening. Mm-hmm. And I felt like there was another level, even that Wednesday when I preached and laid hands on a couple of people to be free from anxiety and depression. Yeah. Like it actually, like there were like immediate testimonies, quick testimonies of people telling me that stuff happened. Yeah. And it's not that I didn't have like, you know, God hadn't anointed me before and stuff, but it was just, there was another level of something that broke through. Amen. where I leveled up. And there is spiritual levels, by the way. You can go back and watch my podcast on understanding spiritual levels. There are levels in the spirit. People think, no, you know, this is weird. You know, that's not in the Bible. It's in the Bible. There are spiritual levels in the Bible where you can go up in levels in the spirit. But I'm like amazed at just hearing testimonies. People keep coming up to me every single weekend. I was healed of this. I was healed of that. This happened. Amen. God did this. And it's God just doing the work. And it amazes me.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Well, thanks for tuning in. God will use you too.
Yes.
And he wants to use you. Just believe him at his word.
Amen.
Amen. That's what I got for you guys today. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Uncanceled Podcast. God bless, and I hope that you tune in next week.
Thank you for listening to the Uncanceled Podcast. We hope you were blessed and encouraged by the teaching today. If you are between the grades of 5th through 12th grade, make sure to check us out in person at Faith Church in New Milford, Connecticut, every Wednesday night from 6:30 to 9 p.m. Be sure to tune in next week for another weekly podcast from Uncanceled. God bless.